Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tahunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Good morning. This morning's scripture reading is from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 4 through 14. This is where Paul confesses that he, in his former life, was foremost in Pharisaic zeal. I, too, have reasons for confidence in the flesh. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through the faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his suffering by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Pray with me if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. By way of background of the text just a little bit, we know that community of Philippians are particularly close to Paul's heart. He is writing to them for two purposes, to thank them for their prayers and financial support, but also because there's some conflict within the community where people are saying that you have to follow the law of Moses in order to be a faithful follower of Jesus. And Paul, of course, would oppose this, and that's why we have this long defense. Leaders in the community are saying that we're equipped. This is different than the so-called super apostles that Paul encounters in community at Corinth. Here, these folks are basically saying we're better apostles because we're true Hebrews. And so he has this lengthy comment on who he is, what his life is, and why he is led to follow Jesus only through grace and justification, not by any other means. Another point in there. At the end of this, Paul talks about how you come to follow Jesus in fear and trembling, and in fear, when he's using the word, he means in knowing one's need of God, not being just fearful of God's wrath, but just knowing your need of God. And he says this in his letter to the Colossians as well. He in fact, says that phrase. We are to work out our faith in fear and trembling, knowing that God knows each one of us. The other element that it's important for us to understand, Paul is looking back, reflecting on his life, and he's not guilty nor disillusioned. In modern parlance, he is saying in these phrases, that was then and this is now. This is why I think this way. This is why my heart is spiritually moved this way. It sounds a little bit like a race, and I probably could have titled this, "You May Already Be a Winner," but I think he's talking about being found and finding God at the same time. But that doesn't mean that there's not competition spiritually going on. There's a story of the IRS receiving a letter from a guilty anonymous non-taxpayer, and it read, "I have cheated on my taxes for the past 7 years. Last night I found I could not sleep, so I'm enclosing a $100 bill. If I cannot sleep tomorrow, I'll send you the rest that I owe." So we all have things we carry around. That's a kind of jovial thing. This is real life. Elvis Dumero, who found himself out of a job, and the Denver Broncos were without their best defensive end Friday afternoon. After they reached an agreement on a new contract but saw it all come undone when a tardy filing of the paperwork forced them to release him. And here's the gist of it, the dollars and cents. Dumerville had agreed to take a $4 million pay cut and remain with the AFC West champions for 2013. But the paperwork didn't come back to the team until 7 minutes past the deadline. 7 minutes. Now, here's what it cost in dollars and cents. The team is probably going to have to pay a $5 million penalty for being over their limit. He's out of a job, but they still, it appears, at least if I'm reading the numbers right, he took a $4 million pay cut, which means they still owe him $8 million of salary. So I wouldn't feel too sorry for him. But because somebody was 7 minutes late with the paperwork, that's the part. We look at this and say, how does that stuff happen? Well, I don't know whether you have received these things in the mail, but I have. And now they come on the internet as pop-ups or spam. You may already be a winner. Publishers Clearinghouse was famous for this, as was Reader's Digest, and American Express used to. I don't know whether, I think they finally stopped sending them to me because I complained so much. You may already be a winner. Please send in and see if you are. This was such a popular practice that I think it's about 20 years ago, John Hyatt wrote and had a modest hit with this notion. You may already be a winner. What Paul is saying, we already are. I haven't arrived, but I press on for that call and claim that Jesus has on my life. You know that I read the LA Times, and I love to hate their sports writers, but this doesn't come from the sports section. It comes from mind and body, and I would say spirit as well. The title of an article by Renee Lynch is Running for Hope. Julie Weiss isn't stopping with 52 marathons in a year. She plans to run 52 more to raise $1 million to fight pancreatic cancer. And here's the story in a nutshell. If all goes according to plan, this was out of yesterday's paper, Julie Weiss will cross two finish lines when she completes the Los Angeles Marathon on Sunday. The race will mark the end of a quest to run an average of one marathon a week for 52 weeks. You heard that. One a week for 52 weeks. And no, she's not a superstar. She's a lovely middle-aged woman. She's 42. And it got started this way. About 6 years ago, Weiss was an overweight single mom relying on medication to help with depression. A friend gently encouraged her to try exercise. Weiss went for a run on the beach and noticed something. It felt great. So she went for another run and then another. When someone suggested she try training for a triathlon, she signed up. It wasn't long before she'd shed 25 pounds and the antidepressants. Her father, Maurice, was her biggest fan, and the first call she'd make after every race was to him. If he could, he'd be there cheering me on. And when Weiss decided she wanted to run a marathon fast enough to qualify for the prestigious Boston Marathon, he helped her train. The day after Weiss's 18th attempt to qualify, the day after her 18th try, and she fell short, listen to this, by 2 minutes. 2 minutes. The day after, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer with weeks to live. She used this as a claim and call in her life. It doesn't say anything about her spirituality. It doesn't need to. I don't care if she's a Methodist or a Hindu. She's a spiritual person, because what she chose to do was run 52 marathons, one a week, and to raise money for pancreatic cancer cure, which, if you don't know this, it's a really tough cancer. Very low survival rate, very difficult to, the treatment is very difficult. Her father insisted Weiss stick to her training, and she did, often stopping at his bedside and after a run. He died November 24th, 2010, 1 week later on her 19th attempt. She qualified for the Boston Marathon. Is that cool or what? That's amazing. Here's the part that I love, is the transparency of this. She, as an accountant by day, by night, the Santa Monican turned to her website and Facebook page to benefit the Manhattan Beach-based Pancreatic Cancer Action Network. That's a mouthful. I can't say that again. So far, she has raised $168,000, and here's the important part of that. All donations go directly to the network. I do not touch the money, she said. And her goal is to raise $1 million. And here's the spiritual part for me. She said, every race I run, can you hear Paul say, I run the race, not that I've arrived. Every race I run, I dedicate to someone who has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And she wears memory bracelets with their name on her wrist. When the race gets hard, I think, this is nothing. I look at the picture of them. There are little pictures on the bracelets of the people and on the memory bands. And I say, okay, we can do this. I'm not going to stop, she said. I'm just getting started. If you saw this article, you were stunned like me. There are 14 pictures of her winning. Not winning the race, but winning life. 14 pictures. And she's not done yet. And neither are we. We press on, knowing that disappointment comes, knowing that there are difficult things that happen in life. People we love abandon us. If not literally, they abandon us spiritually, personally. Jobs that we've committed our lives to are taken away. Things that we've just strove for our whole lives, just poof, they're gone. But if we believe anything Paul is saying, we're stronger than this. We're stronger than this because we have been found by God in the person and in the presence of Jesus. And in that we find strength for the journey. May it ever be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.